Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show, where we had a special guest in today who was on good form. He has his autobiography out, and it was Alan Brazil. Ever heard of him? He was great, wasn't he, Andy?
Yeah, when he eventually turned up.
Yeah. He wasn't on time, but we didn't expect that anyway. We also spoke to the foodie footballer Mark Pugh, formerly of Bournemouth, who has gone back to Shrewsbury after 11 years. The Moose got involved in that conversation, as you'll discover. What else did we do,
Andy? We had chats about last week's and clips of the midweek.
Oh, clips of the midweek. Here it all is.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. And, I started off with the Man City game, and they played very well, actually. They're looking much better, I thought. They moved the ball quicker. And for those that are interested in these things, though, Kevin De Bruyne's shirt was not tucked in.
Oh, OK. Outside. Does that bother you?
No, not at all.
Most shirts these days are tucked in, because the players...
It's a reference.
Oh, OK, sorry about that. Oh, yes. Oh, I see. Sorry. I thought you were just making a general point about footballers' shirts.
I did notice about De Bruyne, though, that ball, his foot is like a putter. The way he put the ball in for Torres for that first goal, he just rolled it in perfectly. He's a wonderful player. Yeah. He really is. I know it's not an original thing to say, but he certainly is. I tell you what I did see.
You're sticking your neck out.
I am, yeah.
You're desperate to be clickbait. Andy Jacobs says... Kevin De Bruyne, wonderful player.
That won't go viral. Not a lot of what I said does, really. But
no.
The fans at Lokomotiv, though, for the buy-in game, there were quite a few. And I actually found myself really, really dying to go. I felt jealous of the fake crowd.
Okay. Well, do you know where I was last night? Because I had to rely...
Oh, you went, did you?
I had to rely on highlights of the Champions League when I got in, because I went and saw some live football.
Mm.
I went to see, and some of the boys I play football with on a Friday have become season ticket holders at Potter's Bar, the local club there. So I went along. What's wrong? What do you mean, why you got that disparaging look and tone in your voice?
It's not the same, is it?
Of course it is. It's live football.
What, Potter's Bar? Going to Potter's Bar is the same as going to White Hart Lane.
No, of course it's not. No, but, that's not the point, is it, really? It's a chance to see live football. And the interesting thing, a couple of live games I've seen, but sort of grassroots matches. They played Worthing, and there must have been about 50 Worthing fans who'd made, on a Tuesday night, basically coming from Brighton. They were rewarded with a 2. They were 1-0 down. They were the top of the league, and they won 2-1.
Well, that's what they
was
glory hunters.
It was an entertaining game.
That does sound good.
There was 311 there, which somebody was telling us from the club was the highest league gate they've had. So I think a lot of people are getting to that stage. A lot of people last night they thought, I've got to go and see some live football. So it was...
Yeah, I do. Joking aside, I understand.
12 quid. It was 12 quid to get in. The club did a brilliant job. Mm. And they've been... they got with the social distancing right. They had the bar open. They're making a few quid over the bar. You could have a pint and watch the game. It was all very civilised. And I'm gonna dot a few games around the season,
It's good if I... It's just not quite for me, but I mean...
No. Yeah. It's Amdram for you, isn't it, Andy?
I think it is a little bit, but I do get it. And I think it's great. And it's better than nothing. There's definitely, for sure.
Yeah.
And,
I don't know if it says that above the stage. Welcome to Potter's Bar, it's better than nothing. That's not the way they see it. They've got, proper hardcore fan base who go to, they had their ultras behind the goal.
it's all good.
Yeah.
We're all missing football, no question about it.
Look, the producer's shaking his head now from the lofty perch of the National League.
They won 4-1 last night.
They're top of the league.
Yeah,
they're top of the league. Actually, shaking his head at you, not at me. But there we are.
No,
anyway, Andy, what else did we
do? Yes. But Michael Frost, listen to what he's missing. He said, I enjoy watching football on TV, but matches are ruined by the commentator's banal chatter. Oh, how I miss the late Kenneth Wolstenholme, who knew when to keep his mouth shut.
Wow.
Well,
he's not
he
liked anybody
speak.
Since.
Yeah, it's quite a long time
ago. Can I make a serious point about Luca Dean and his the 3-1 drop of the ban? I'm not questioning the decision. All I would say is, what good is that to Everton now, really? Because all that's really saying is that the referee and the VAR got that wrong. So we're going back to what we were saying the other day about clear and obvious. You know, we're saying it's that threshold, which means a VAR won't step in when it views a decision. And so they could have easily have said to him, because clearly the panel that's looked at it didn't think it was serious foul play worthy of 3 games.
They still gave him one, though.
They still gave him one. But they didn't give him 3. They didn't give him the full tariff. That's what he was sent
exist,
off for.
It doesn't exist, does it? I mean, it's either a yellow card or it's a red card, 3-game ban. How can it be a 1-game ban?
Well, exactly. That's the point I'm making.
No,
someone's looked at it and said it was orange. There's no such thing as an orange card. So what should have happened is that the official, rather than all this nonsense about, did it reach the threshold of clear and obvious? I don't think it did. We'll back the referee.
So annoying, isn't it?
You might want to have a look at that again. He may have a point about it being accidental. So what happens now is Carlo Ancelotti was raging against it. I mean, whatever you think of the tackle, and a lot of people think he should have got 3 games, and it was a bad one because he had 2 bites at him. But on the basis that they've decided it isn't as bad as the ref thought and the VAR didn't step in, They've let Everton down, haven't they? Everton probably wouldn't have got back into that game the way they were playing, but they might have done with 11 men. So it's rubbish. And what I'm saying is, it's rubbish. And we've got to get rid of clear and obvious and all that nonsense. It's stupid. Anyway, we'll leave it there.
No, I agree with you. It isn't right. I was trying to find you. Someone got very excited there because Mo Farah's going to be in I'm a Celebrity.
Yes, I saw that.
I'm not entirely sure it's going to be that great, really. And the whole point of it, isn't it? It's in the jungle. But I love the fact that they told us where was this bit? I can't even find it. That's brilliant. Explain what the MoBot was. I was thinking, it can't be anybody that doesn't know what the MoBot is. Surely everybody knows that. If they don't,
what's the MoBot, Andy?
Of course, you know what it is. It's brilliantly explained. And Liverpool struggled a bit against Michelin.
Yeah.
I thought, Michelin?
Michelin, they got a star though, didn't they? They didn't get the 3 stars they were expecting.
They've got a player called Evander. I think he used to play for Vatican City. The pitch was known as Evander's Holyfield.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. What do you make of them then? Because I said I was watching highlights.
It's interesting. Liverpool, seriously missing Van Dijk. They've got a lot of injuries, and it's a problem for them. But they do have still quality, and enough quality to win a game and win games. And I think it's interesting. United apparently going to make a bid for Upamecano next summer. I think it'd be too late. They'd be at Liverpool. I'm sure they're gonna have to buy in January.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
The TalkSport Clips of the Week.
Well, kind of, because as we've been telling you over the past few weeks, and we kind of did this sort of tail end of lockdown a bit, didn't we? Some old mini discs.
We need a voice across that bit going, classic, or something like that.
Something like that, gold.
Can you amend that by next week, John?
Classic clips of the mid-week. So we found these old mini discs in the office, and they've been digitised, and here they are. We've not heard these clips since 2007. They're not best of. It's random selection of clips from 2007.
A flavour of
what went out that day. Some will be better than others, I guess. The producer's had a listen to them. He stakes his reputation on them, which is good of him. So let's see what they're like, Andy. And he's written us new intros. We begin with Mike Parry and Andy Townsend and a competition question.
What nationality was last year's Bupa Great North Run men's race winner? We offered you A, South African, or B, Kenyan.
Yes.
And, of course, the answer, Andy, was...
I haven't got a clue.
South Africa.
Was it South Africa?
As Hendrik Ramala won in 1 minute, 1.03 seconds.
The Great North Run.
Yes,
it does go back to Mike saying all those years ago, a man would run 100 metres in a second.
What's Bupa?
Good old Mike.
Here's our much-loved and sadly missed former cricket correspondent, Jack Bannister, with news of a wicket.
suddenly Peterson saw it was Ganguly and thought, let's try and jostle him up a bit and take the mickey, and turned and sprinted for another run with Shah. As soon as he saw the sprint, said, no, no, no.
There we are, of course, back in 2007, that did remind us of something.
They tried to make me go to rehab, I said,
no, no, no.
Get the idea there. Yeah, that's ridiculous. Right.
Yes, Andy.
It's Graham Beecroft now with a question for Spanish expert Paul Breen-Turner about Chelsea's Champions League opponents, Valencia.
It's strange, really, that, because Paul, you look at them, Paul, and they've got, what, 12, is it, or 13 internationals in their squad.
12 or 13 internationals in their squad? I don't quite,
what's wrong with that?
What's wrong with a clip? What? Oh, you've got to read the next one. Oh, it's a two-parter.
Oh, sorry.
Doing two-parters. Yeah, good knowledge, Beaky. Well, I don't know. I'm just doing these cold.
No.
Nice one, says the producer here. Let's see what question Alan followed up with.
But a good squad this time, Paul. I think they've got 13 full Spanish internationals, haven't they?
Or 12. Yeah, 12 or 13, I believe, Alan.
It's marvellous, isn't it?
Yeah.
And this is Mike Parry reading out a text about the performance of England's Emil Heskey.
Right, Emil had a blender here, but it means a blinder.
Well, he might have a blender. He was on with us. Like, next time he's on, we'll ask him, has he got a blender?
Make me a smoothie.
It would be good, wouldn't it? Here's long-serving breakfast co-host Ronnie Irani, who, of course, was on Drive the other night, wasn't he, with Goffey?
Yes.
And Adrian. Right at the beginning of his stint alongside Alan with a famous sporting quote.
Bill Shankly once said, some people in football, it's a matter of life and death. I can assure you, much it is more important than that.
Sorry? I don't think that's what Bill said.
That was Yoda, wasn't it? Not Bill Shankly.
It was. Mr. Brazil again, this time talking racing with Derek Tomo Thompson, and some surprising news about an old TalkSport colleague.
He was the best I've ever trained. We think he'd have won the Arc and the Classic.
I think he's probably right. Of course, sadly, we'll never know. And my good friend Ian Wright has been flown over there by private jet, Sheikh Mohammed's private jet, to do the surgery on him.
That quite righty, didn't he? He does equine surgery.
He was in non-league surgery. And then he became
next time he's on Match of the Day, Gary's got to ask him about equine surgery. Back to Graham Beecroft, reading out a text alongside Big Al.
One more. This is from Al Stewart, who's in Essex.
Oh, the year of the cat.
The moose's new name.
You mean Al, and it's Stewart.
Oh, it's Al Stewart. Is it? I don't know. From Stewart in Essex. Anyway, whatever. Al knows.
No, Al, to me, and it's Stewart in Essex.
All right, okay. Oh, I see what you
here
mean.
Are the
Al,
cats.
Full stop.
For goodness sake.
Chance to have a sing song, though, eh?
Nice track, though. I like that track.
Yes.
Alvin Martin now. A little known fact about Alvin. Back in 2007, he actually built a time machine.
Wow.
I think the surprising thing was the timing of this. And, you know, I was chatting to somebody at Liverpool tomorrow.
It's brilliant, Alvin. Back to the future. Marvellous. Here's Mr. Parry again.
Arrivederci, Roma. Now then, earlier in the show, we gave you your first clue to an ancient city for a chance to win a trip for two to Rome. Hence me singing Arrivederci, Roma,
isn't
okay?
That, isn't that goodbye, Rome? Really?
Well, it's hello and goodbye, actually. Arrivederci means hello, goodbye, you know what I mean?
Does it?
Yeah,
I thought it meant goodbye,
No,
Michael.
No. It means hello and goodbye to the ancient city.
No, he doesn't.
Just blagging it like he usually does. And needless to say, Andy Townsend didn't let that one lie.
YouTube, Mr. Parry. Mm. Arrivederci means only goodbye. Ciao means both hello and goodbye, says Tony. See, I don't know anything about Italian.
Not colloquially,
Tony,
mate,
on the M25.
You get yourself down on the Spanish steps there in Rome.
He's great, isn't he? And so, Andy, finally.
And finally, it's Keith Arthur on Fisherman's Blues with an interesting story for a listener.
I don't think they've been washed over the weir, for example, and they're hardly likely to swim downstream through the lock cut, because once they get into those big, secure lock cuts, and there are a few quite long lock cuts as you come down the river, because the lower Thames wasn't flooded. Although there was flood watch, it didn't actually flood. The water levels didn't get as high as they did in 2003. Right. So once you get to the section like the lock cut at Teddington, which is a particularly long, particularly wide, and relatively deep lock cut, there's plenty of sanctuary there for the fish, and I couldn't imagine them wanting to travel through the lock to get out of that bit of comfort.
Uh-huh.
Anyway.
Right, OK then, Keith. Well, thanks for that.
Slightly fizzled out. Didn't seem massively interested, did he? By the end of it.
A fan of lock cuts.
Yeah, that's well done, Andy. I wasn't going to say it. I'm glad you did. I think we're in the madhouse thing. So there we are. We'll find some old classic clips if we can.
And we'll read the script before we actually do it.
Yes,
next
we will,
week.
Because the producers put a lot of work into us reading it properly, not wondering why something was
going,
funny.
What's this clip?
Why is that funny? Yeah. Please tell us.
That was very poor.
Now, I look next door and I look at the slightly worried faces of the production team, which would suggest Mr. Brazil is not yet in the building. We even had an internal minder.
Perhaps this will be in the third book.
Yeah, that's right. I remember once, you know, I got on it and I'm being told. We don't know that he isn't. So what does that mean exactly? It's fantastic.
Dave Richards, who's one of our executive producers, he's supposed to be minding Alan this afternoon. I've just seen him wandering about without Alan. That's not a good sign.
He needs man marking Alan when he's going to be on the air. We know what he's like. You've really got to go tight on
him.
Because
I'm going to interview you as Alan.
Well, I've had a look at the book, so I could possibly do some of it. I did compare one of his and Ray's after dinner do, so I do know quite a lot of the stories, but I don't think I can give it the delivery. But anyway, look, who knows? Who knows with a big man? He might be here.
The title of the book's Only Here for a Visit. Well, he's not here for a visit.
Not to the studio. Fantastic, isn't it? I wouldn't mind. He's with the publicist from the publishing company. I don't know who it is. A poor fella or poor girl is probably under a table somewhere in a pub. Imagine that, you know. Imagine being poured into a cab at the moment.
Oh,
you know.
Dear.
Anyway,
you never know.
Look, you know, really, what do you expect? I mean, when we booked him, it was always high risk. We'll see what happens.
I said to you two sessions.
Oh, yeah. No, the producer, I said, you know, Al, he probably won't turn up. And he said, no, don't be so stupid. Of course he will. He's coming up. He's in the building. He's in the lift, apparently.
Is he?
After all that, yeah.
Oh, marvellous.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Just to look at some of the authors that have been published by the great people at Penguin over the years. Dickens, Dostoevsky, Roald Dahl, John
Mike
Grissom,
Dickin.
Mike Dickin,
Alan
Dickin. Barack Obama, now add to the list. Alan Brazil, Alan's autobiography.
By the way, I could do a better job in America than them two tubes.
It's called Only Here for a Visit. And at one point, we didn't think you were going to visit us today, but...
Oh, come on. Now you have to travel from darker Suffolk to get here.
No, we're happy you're here. To me, that title, that's your philosophy of life, isn't it?
I think so. I touch on it in the book, guys, and great to be on, by the way, that I've met so many, you know, players that I played against, older players, younger players coming through, and there's so many stories, so many tales... where some have gone on to do great things, others really sad injuries, depression, you know, and that's why I decided as a kid, I thought, come on, roll your sleeves up, get on with it. You know, you can't whinge, you can't have your mother's hand all the time. Get on with it and make the best of things.
You talk in the book about you had your own pub at one time and you lost that and it was a big readjustment in your life, didn't
it? The reason why I had the pub, I was actually sorting the finance for a couple of guys who were buying the pub.
Right.
And they couldn't get it and I could.
And I thought, hold on a minute, I'm not doing a lot. I'll have a go at this. And by the way, I loved it.
I can believe it.
I'm telling you.
I can see you as a publican.
No, the people of Ipswich loved it. They supported me like you can't believe.
Yeah.
And then I remember one game, I think it was Brighton, end of the season, we had to win to stay up. We sold out everything before the game. And we had to scamper around and get booze in because we won. We stayed in the Premier.
Yeah.
And we got a load of booze in. And I couldn't get them out. There was 500 people in the pub and 1,000 outside. The police had to close the road because we were very close to the football ground. And those were... I've had some brilliant nights in there. I mean brilliant, but there was something... It wasn't for me long term, that's all. And I started doing a little bit of media.
Right.
You know, I heard you two guys, and I thought, well, I can do
that. Anybody can do that.
It's very interesting in the book, Alan. It's a very interesting.
I'm only kidding.
Yeah, there's a very interesting description in the book of your first ever broadcast here at Talk Sport.
Yeah, and Oxford Street.
Yeah, yeah. And it confirms what I've always thought about you, which I'm quite envious of because I don't have this. Is you are a natural broadcaster.
No,
what I call,
you turned on, you had
10 minutes, you turned up and you did the show. I mean, that takes a bit.
Well, I tell you the truth.
A style you've maintained for the 20 years.
I tell you the truth. Well, I've got it down to 3 minutes, not 10. We were in the Red Fort. People say to me, how can you remember 40 years ago football and 20 years? I can. Mm. We were in the Red Fort and it was a bit of a, it wasn't just a boozy lunch, we're trying to make a few quid.
Mm.
And I was with Paul Miller from Spurs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right, and he'd set it up, and towards the end of the afternoon, I thought, oh, crikey, Maxie Miller, I said, I meant to be doing some radio station at 7 o'clock. He went, what? Blow it out. I said, no, I said I'll do it, I can't blow it out. And let me tell you, we had a great lunch. I mean, in fact, one of the ladies at lunch fell over.
Wow.
She collapsed. And all these Americans had to move tables trying to give her the kiss of life. And,
oh, no.
And but she does this. She's got a problem. Not booze. She just had a problem. She loses air. And they've ripped her blouse open.
Blimey.
And they get off! Bang! And she smacks this yank right in the face. Get off! Get off! And anyway, it was all sorted. She was fine. She was happy.
Oh, okay. And so you felt safe to leave and do the radio?
I went, it's 20 to 7. Max, you got to help me. What do you mean? Where? I said, I've got to go over the road to Oxford Street. I've got to do radio. What sort of radio? I said, I don't know. Some guy, Paddy, invited me to do it. I don't know. So anyway, we found the radio station. And there he was, Porky. Hey! 5 minutes to 7. What time do you got? I said, shut up. What? Where's my script? What do you want me to do? He went, no script. Just go on there and say hello and tell them who you are. And a few of the cabs who are having a rest of the night on the break will phone you up. I went, right. Get lost. No chance.
Good recovery.
You're having a laugh. And I looked at Max and went, come on, we'll have a laugh. And we sat down, I swear, and the light went on about 7:03 after the news. Hi, I'm Alan Brazil with Paul Miller from Tottenham. Anyone out there, you want to give us a call? We're going to talk about a couple of stories. And that was it.
And off you went.
For 2 hours. Yeah. And the red lights, bing, 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 bing. All the calls come in.
Yeah.
And I walked out there and I thought, I enjoyed that. That was nice.
Mm. Little did you know that Mr. Parry was giving you some clog that night was going to be quite a major part of your life. He's quite a major part of the book, isn't he?
Very
really?
Funny this stuff.
So listen. He reckons. He said, I picked you. Sorry. What a load of tosh. He knew. It was Claire who was... Claire, I forget her second
name. Claire Furlong,
yeah. Claire was there. And Alan, don't worry about him. Just get your headphones on.
Don't worry about him.
Who's that little Oompa Loompa? You know, and... And that's the first time I met him.
Yeah.
The book differs from the first... Sorry, Paul. It differs from the first one you wrote with Mike Parry because...
Well, it was all about him. That's why.
Exactly.
That's right, yeah.
What's all about him?
This is my proper autobiography. The first one was Parry's.
You also talk about your playing career, Al, don't you?
Yeah.
It's interesting you say at the top there's people that only know you from the radio. They don't know you were a professional footballer. It's bizarre, isn't it, really?
No, absolutely. And the last few days, I've been doing a lot of media, talking to reporters and some who covered my playing career.
Yeah.
And they basically said to me, you know, it's a shame people don't remember you because you did get a goal or two.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you look at my record, I played in the World Cup, I played in the top flight, and I did score no worse than 1 in 3 every game I played in, which is not bad. And I played with some great, great players. But when I all finished, when I was 27... I was sort of relieved because I knew there was something wrong with me because it didn't really happen to Spurs. It did it. 12 games to go, I went to Spurs, scored 6 goals, and we got in Europe, right? And the following year, we won the UEFA Cup.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that was down to me, but I definitely helped. Mm. Then went to United, and United, I think I played 90 minutes, 26 times, scored 12. So it wasn't a horror story, but it wasn't my Ipswich form. I knew there was something wrong.
What was it? What packing up, though, at 27, when you've been successful?
It was a relief.
Was it really? Because you were in so much pain?
I knew there was something wrong. And eventually, when I went to Coventry, because Ron Atkinson said to me, Coventry are coming up, Don Mackay, manager, and I'm selling you, we're having Teddy Gibson, okay?
Mm, yeah.
And you're going there, or you're rotting my reserves. And right. I always remember he said that to me. But in saying that, to be fair, Ron bought Alan Brazil, who was scoring 28 goals at Ipswich, and maybe didn't work at Tottenham, and he thought he could rekindle that spirit and form. So to be fair to him, he paid a lot of money for me. So I'm not blaming him. Mm. But I'll never forget what he said. You know, you're rotting my reserves. And unlike players now who might just sit there and take the dough, I thought, I'll stuff you. I'm off then. I'll go. No problem. But Coventry didn't last long. QPR, and eventually it got to the stage I was going round all over the country trying to find a cure for a problem I had. And I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
In other words, I could clean my teeth in the morning. If I took my hand off the sink, my head would go, boom, straight in the basin. Wow. I had to wash with one hand. Took my hand off the basin, bang. Wow. So I knew I had a problem. Mm. And it turned out eventually it was S1L5, your disc, sacroiliac joint, bottom disc. I needed a spinal fusion, which Ian Botham had a long time ago. But they didn't work in those days. Mm. So when I was eventually said, it's over, your time's up, believe it or not, I was relieved.
Wow, interesting. There's a story we won't have time for because it's one. I'll tell you, the audio book will be. You've done the audio book, haven't you? I see. I saw some pictures the other day.
I have, but that's another story. We'll come to that later.
Oh, okay. Alan Brazil is with us in the studio. We're chatting about his autobiography.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Alan Brazil's with us in the studio chatting about his autobiography. Only here for a visit, which is out this week, and a bit of Rod Stewart because he's a regular caller. You two are old mates, aren't you? You've had a few socials together.
Rod's great, and I mean great, and it's not all front when he starts talking about Celtic, his beloved Celtic. In fact, his brother's a Rangers supporter. I don't know if that's well known. Sorry, Rod. But no, he is. So I stayed with Rod. I first met him in 82, apart from all the concerts I've been there.
Yeah.
In 1982 World Cup, Jock Stein dropped the Scottish bus off at his villa, and we had a great time, and it was magic. But he really is a massive Scotland and especially Celtic fan. It's not show. It's not all, you know, I'll pick a club. No. I've spent the night at his house, and then we flew up private jet to Glasgow to Parkhead or Celtic Park, and he was quizzing me about this and that. And let me tell you now, I was heartbroken when the banner went up from, the Green Brigade, the ultras, they call them, right? Yeah. Celtic supporters. Get stuff, Rod. It was a bit more than that.
Yeah. But
this guy loves Celtic. And I'll tell you now, I would pick 10 of the Green Brigade. And if they're listening now, listen carefully. I'd pick 10 of you, right? And we'll go through a few games. And I'll bet you Rod knows more about Celtic than you do.
But
your love feature of Celtic comes through as well.
I grew up south side of Glasgow. In fact, I was born in Govan.
Oh, wow. Rangers country.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I was born in the Govan Hotel, in the hospital, excuse me.
Yeah.
Southern General, and then moved. And Govan is not exactly, Beverly Hills. And then moved to Castlemilk, which is even worse. Three Alsatians go about together because they're scared, right? And then we settled down above Hampden Park in a place called Sims Hill. And I used to watch, kick a ball about every day, every chance I come back from primary school, whatever, get a ball on the street. And looking down the hill was Hampden Park. And where the Rangers end was always covered, which I could never work that out. At Celtic Park, at Rangers, at Hampden, they always had a cover.
Mm.
And as you know, always pours in Glasgow. We used to get soaked. But when there was a score in cup finals, they were normally always Celtic Rangers. The hands went up in the Celtic end. It was a muffled roar. When Rangers scored, the dust come up because it was weird. It was all dusty, sort of, and it was louder. So, I used to dream of, I'm going to play there one day. I'm going to play there one day. And going back to Rod, he got into the Celtic thing, and he loves it. He invited me to his house. his gym snooker room. I said, I'm not going to the gym, Rod, but I'll have a game of snooker with you. There was Celtic pictures, scarves, rosettes. It was unbelievable in that room.
It's funny you should call... Sorry, Paul, you call him Rod there, one name, but we've noticed something that you lately, on your Thursday and Friday show, have
you dropped the Allen.
You're like Prince. You call yourself
Brazil.
You've
dropped the Allen. You're just Brazil now.
Oh, really?
Is this your trademark? Yes.
It's Brazil.
It's Brazil. Like Madonna and Gal.
It's no longer the Allen Brazil Sports Breakfast, is it? That's why.
Okay.
That's right.
Yeah. We'll move on.
You pay tribute to your long-suffering wife, Jill, and your daughter.
Luckiest women in suffer.
You do make the point. I mean, look, being a footballer's wife is never easy because you say when Tottenham sign you, you're happy in Ipswich, you don't want to really leave. Suddenly, you move in, wife and kids, with you to London. Mm. And then after that, the broadcast career, you spent a lot of time down here. So she's been your rock out, I think it's fair to say.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah. And my kids and my grandkids, I've got three daughters, three grandkids.
Lovely pictures in the book.
And I've got another, I can tell you now, my doctor, my youngest, she's having another girl. She's having her first kid, which is another girl.
Yeah.
She had fireworks 2 weeks ago.
So all the grandkids girls at the moment?
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay. Oh,
that's interesting.
Yeah.
You want to play a bit of football in the garden, do you? With the granddaughters.
Yeah, it's difficult, but they're fantastic. And going back to my wife, she is a rock.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. Because I had some ups and downs, by the way. Make no mistake about it. There was times I was on my knees, skint. But I always said, no, tomorrow's another day. Don't worry about that. Roll the sleeves up. Here we go. And it's going to be better than ever.
Yeah.
And I think at the moment it is better than ever.
Yeah.
There's a thing in the book
You've got to have that belief.
Sure, yeah.
Sure,
no, I understand.
Where loose women start you made a comment about Jill and they start criticising you about it.
Well, they did, but by all accounts, the lovely Stacey stuck up for me. I didn't
Stacey
see
Stacey Solomon, yeah.
Mm. It's always hearsay, isn't it? But one or two, I think I called them old trouts, which was, I will apologise.
Yeah, it's good that you apologise for that now.
But I will say is the old trouts had how can they ever go at me? Have a look at their relationships.
Yeah.
Their long-time marriages.
Right? They changed the name of the programme to Loose Trouts.
Yeah. Oh, unbelievable. So I did lose it a little bit.
Yeah.
Well. But yeah, they were talking about Jill will get me my frosties and then shoot outside. To get the car ready, put the heating on and get the scrape and scrape. Only because she wants me safe to get here to earn some money.
Yeah.
It's not love. He's got to get to London to earn money.
That's
what the point they miss.
Yeah. Have you ever been starstruck, Al? Have you ever a point where you had a guest in the studio that you've got starstruck about or not over the years? Or the memorable ones?
I don't think so. I talk about... I've had some great guests. Crikey. By the way, Tyson Fury lately was brilliant.
Yeah.
Mm. He sat where you're sitting, honestly, Andy.
Bit taller.
But he looked brilliant. He looked as if he'd just jetted in from Miami.
Yeah.
But he didn't look like a full-blown heavyweight. He looked as if he'd walked out of CNA or Burton's window. You know, he was dressed up. But then he started talking about his troubles. Good stuff. And then the troubles came where he spoke about... I was driving my car and I was confused, didn't know what to do, and I put my foot in the accelerator more and there was a tree 100 yards up on the left and I thought, I'm going into that, I'm going to end this.
Wow.
And I was with Ali McCoys, and we looked at each other and I went, go on, and I nearly said, what happened? Obviously, he didn't drive into it.
What happened?
Right? But he came out and said about the problems he's had. It was, I could have done 4 hours with him.
Yeah, yeah.
It was magic. But then George Foreman, before, came in. And George has got about 7 sons, right? And they're all called George.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think it was George the 5th who was outside.
Yeah.
And he was 6'7". He'd walk back. Morning, George. What's going on here? It's amazing. And the George Foreman, the boxer, I'm talking away to him, and he's smiling and chat. See, as soon as the live light went off, what am I doing here, man? This is, you know, and
really?
What am I doing here? And, oh, God, yeah. And I'm saying, I love your grill, George. I love your, you know, I think he's going to beat me up in a minute. And then, bang, the light came on again. He was nice as pie.
You could have done the Allenborough Grill, couldn't you? You could have gone into the grill business.
He did frighten me with them dark eyes.
Don't give people ideas.
Yeah, he was looking like a shark in them dark eyes. Yeah. Oh,
also, in the book, you say, and we're running out of time, but you say...
No, we'll do another hour.
I have a habit of missing major events.
You missed the World Cup final, didn't you?
Oh, hold on now. I want to get this clear, because we're in TalkSport Studios.
Yeah.
I was a late... invitee. Don't worry about that. Okay. This was not planned.
Not just one of
them. It was a late shout. Would you like to come to the World Cup final?
Yeah.
And I think, is this the time I was in Spain, San Roque, in the pool?
There was this whole, there's a description of a flight to Brisbane, which is very
funny. No, that was another one. I'm top of the World Cup final.
Yeah.
I'm top of the World Cup final. Oh, right, and okay. I thought myself, am I? And I had to change planes to Milan to get to Berlin. I thought, no. If you'd invited me last week, someone had dropped out. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, you were a late
caller. That's why I didn't go. The Brisbane one, we were having as a family, we were having an Indian meal at Tower Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And the flights were all sorted. And anyway, there was a bit of a problem. Some couple of brokers very close to us were just spoiling the whole night with a language. And you could hear all the tut tut tuts from the tables around. I'm not kidding you. And eventually, I really wanted a nice... dinner before I got on the plane, went to Australia, and I had to stand up, and any other came to fisticuffs, right? I told them, you little anyway they were ejected, and the whole restaurant stood up and applauded. But Mrs. Brazil wasn't happy. Why don't you just keep your big mouth out of it? Right? So we had a row. Anyway, it was time to get on the plane.
Yeah.
And I was going to, I said, you're not going all the way to Heathrow, I'll jump the tube. But there was massive problems on the tube,
right?
And I ended up getting Heathrow, and I missed it, right? And I thought, what's Beaky going to do? I was sitting next to Graham Beecroft on the plane. So he's obviously flown off.
Yeah.
So I've gone to the desk. I said, look, I've got to get there. Any chance? So they made me go the other way around, by LA, the long way around.
Right.
I said, no problem. And I got my card out, and I paid it. And I was there for the first show. So again, people make a big thing out of nothing. I get paid from 6 till 10, Monday to Friday, and I was there. So not a problem.
It's a lot of fun, Al.
Brilliant.
Well done. And I said, you're working on the audio book, still bits to do, but imagine some of these stories, because I did a gig with you and Ray a little while ago in Ipswich, and you brought some of these stories to life. So I imagine the audio book will be fun as well, won't it?
It's different, by the way. It's the first time I've done it.
Oh, okay.
And you're a storyteller.
One take?
No, it's not one take. You know, you're doing 2.5 hours a time.
Yeah, it's a lot to read, yeah.
And it's the first time I'd read the book, so, you know, it was hard work, if I'm being honest. But I'll be honest, I'm glad. No, it was hard work, but I'm glad I've done it, honestly.
It's the first time I've read the book. We can't top that. Why'd you call... somebody wants to know, we know, but why'd you call us Pinky and Perky?
Well, you're like a couple of little giggling. You know, I remember Pinky and Perky all those days. You know,
a couple of TV pigs, basically.
No. I do enjoy you guys, honestly.
Thank you.
Yeah, you've been here as long as me, haven't you?
I know, yeah. We're still getting away with it somehow, all of us.
Andy there must be 82.
Oh, he is. Yeah, in fact, cheers,
82.
Al. Lovely to see you. Best of luck with the book.
God bless. Thank you.
Alan, you're back tomorrow morning, I take it, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
That's right. You've forgotten. Only here for a visit. Published by Penguin. Alan Brazil's new book is out now.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
So, Andy, what have you got for us?
What have I got? Yes, I've got a few non-sport football stories. This one here from Jerry Lawton, our old friend in the Daily Star. He said, thousands of revelers plan to mark Halloween by wearing masks bearing the face of Chief Medical Officer Professor Chris Whitty. No, they don't. First of all, they won't even be able to go. There won't even be Halloween parties. It's ridiculous, isn't it?
It does seem mad.
And Gianni Infantino has tested positive for COVID-19.
Has he really?
Yes, I didn't realise. Reported mild symptoms, said The Guardian, and immediately placed himself in self-isolation where he will remain for at least 10 days. Meanwhile, Scunthorpe's next three games have been postponed due to their coronavirus outbreak. I was thinking, when Infantino reads it, he'll be going, who's Scunthorpe?
Do you reckon he's heard of Scunthorpe?
Probably not.
He probably hasn't, has he?
Are they up for the Super League? They've got in France now, they've got this thing, which is a new app for people who like picking mushrooms.
Oh, yeah.
But, of course, it's such a dangerous thing. You've really got to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And there have been a lot of cases of food poisoning. It's been a bit of a disaster, really. Well, been a rash of food
it sounds poisoning. It. You know, you've got to be so careful. In the woods near where I live, we see... there's often,
some of them are beautiful to look at.
Yeah, I mean, often it's a speciality, and these guys know what they're doing. There's these quite elderly Italian guys who come mushroom picking at certain
really?
Times of year.
For truffles.
They really, well, they know, no, they just know, they know their fungi, obviously. So, and I just think, I was thinking, if I worked in telly, I'd be looking at those two. That's a telly program, that could be, they're, you know what I mean?
That does sound good.
I mean, they may not be characters, they could be quite dull, but I sense they're not.
So, when does that make a difference?
Yeah, that's very true. Have you read any of the stuff today about Christian Coleman, the sprinter, who has basically been banned and will miss the Olympics?
I certainly have. And what's interesting, I'll tell you what's interesting about that case. I was saying to John this morning, we were talking about this story. And yes, it's featured. Matt Lawton did a lot on it in the Times. Very good work. And
was on with Jim, wasn't
it? And the other broadsheets have done it. But in the sort of popular press, it's just a tiny little line. And you think, look where we've gone. This is athletics.
Yeah.
You think when Ben Johnson committed his transgression. Yeah. It was a front page worldwide story.
Yeah.
Now you've got the world champion being banned from the Olympics, and it's hardly raised a ripple.
I know, because that says a lot about athletics, that you know people aren't shocked. It's not a news story. But when you look at the detail of this, one of the last transgression was on December the 9th last year. Now, remember, he's had a bit of previous for this.
Yes.
And the testers have not been able to find him. So you would think when your reputation and your livelihood is really linked to being at home for an hour that you said you'll be at home for, you would be at home for that hour.
Yes.
So, he was told by the testers to be at home between 7:15 and 8:15, or really this was the last strike. So, what did he do? He went shopping. He went shopping. And the testers waited outside his flat for an hour, with the Telegraph tell us today, taking a picture of his nameplate on his door at 8:21 to prove that they'd not left early. Then he tried to claim that he was back at 8:15, but they had the proof he wasn't, and they had a supermarket receipt timed at 8:22. I mean... why would you do this?
Why have sports people broken the COVID rules? What is it about? And, you know,
they're not the only ones, to be fair.
No, I know they're not. But if you think about it, I mean, and it's frustrating, this, because, I mean, I think Chris Robshaw, we've interviewed him, he's a good man, but what they did was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I see this morning that the police aren't going to take any action at all. I mean, it's ludicrous. So that's them not fined. That's Cummings, various footballers, Scottish MPs and Robshaw, all breaking the rules with no consequences. What's the point of having these rules? That's all I'm saying.
Cool, we've got a bit talk radio, haven't we?
Haven't we?
Okay, I'll put it to you. Tell me, please, why these fines? Okay, please.
But it's frustrating, isn't it?
Or Mike Parry.
I think it's mad.
But that is mad. This is nothing to do with, you know, maybe being a bit irresponsible. This is personal responsibility. So it's completely tied to your income, your life, everything. Your reputation, everything
kind of
that you stand for,
you know,
as an athlete and a person.
So,
bonkers. Anyway,
bonkers, I agree.
He will not be missed. And what a stat. This came... you'll love this, Andy. Mm. This was Nick Harris on Twitter from Sporting Intel. Of the 50 fastest men's 100-metre sprint times ever, only 15 have been run by an athlete not banned for drugs or banned for missed tests or accused of doping. All 15 were Usain Bolt.
Yeah. It's unbelievable, isn't it? It's so sad, and it's.
Man.
I used to love athletics. You know, it was apart from football, it was one of my favourite things. And now I never.
Certainly,
watch it.
I mean, like, you know, it's the kind of blue riband event, as they say, isn't it? It's the 100 meters, for goodness' sake.
And, all of it, you know, should be brilliant, and I just think these people, you know, along with what they've done in Russia and all, they've destroyed their own sport. It's so sad. It really is.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
What is it about Shrewsbury Town that? That drives people back? It wasn't that long ago we spoke to Dave Edwards, formerly of Wolves, about going back there. And
that's true.
Now, Mark Pugh has done the same after an 11-year break. Very successful 11 years. Of course, QPR in Bournemouth. He is also the foodie footballer. We chatted to him during lockdown. Very pleased to say he joins us now. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon. How are you, mate?
Yeah, we're good. So is it good to be back at Shrewsbury again?
Yeah, it's great to be back. I mean, it's been a long time since I played a competitive game. I think it was back in February now, and then COVID hit. And I've been training with Bournemouth. They've been kind enough to let me train with them for the last 6 weeks. I've played a couple of under-21s games. So, yeah, raring to go now. And Shrewsbury's a lovely part of the world. And, you know, the setup's great. So I'm really excited about the challenge.
And Charlie Daniels has gone with you, hasn't he?
Yeah, Charlie's gone with me. He's not played for a long time now. He had a long-term injury, but he's worked hard to get himself back to a good level, and he's played the last two games, so that'll stand him in good stead. Hopefully he can go on a good run now.
How are you feeling this morning? Because you played just under an hour last night, so you're a bit stiff.
To be honest, I'm not too bad. I feel really good. I think with it, it's not like playing an under-21s game. It's a lot more high-intense. So I think the management was aware of that as well. So it's just building that base and getting that match sharpness back. And, yeah, I felt really good on the ball. And this morning, I don't feel too bad, thankfully.
Good.
That's good. Now, we can't not talk about the food, because I've been following you on Instagram and you've produced some really fantastic stuff in the lockdown period. Is there any plans to take this further?
I think after football, yeah. I've got a lot left in the legs yet. I feel really good physically, so I want to... my main priority at the moment is doing as well as I can for Shrewsbury Town and getting them up the league table. But yeah, I'm still going to continue with the food. It's a big part of my life, and I think it's really important as well on the recovery side of things, and, you know, maintaining a good level for my football. So, yeah, I want to take it further. I want to release a book eventually. I'm not sure when that's going to be yet, but, yeah, it's on the to-do list for sure.
Aronian Abrahams, the Moose, sent you one of his concoctions.
His food's not so good.
I'm not going to call it a recipe. He sent it to you. He said, I'm giving Mark Pure a run for his money tonight. I've made a tuna and mushroom omelette with corn on the cob. And, yeah, it doesn't look great. It's not beautifully presented, I must be honest. But you did point out you wouldn't necessarily put tuna in an omelette, would you, generally?
To be honest, I was being kind there. I wouldn't have said that to a dog. But he's trying, bless him, but he always gives me a bit of banter about some of my food. If it's not a little bit naughty, he won't really back it, to be honest.
Which is going to be 1,000 terrible things you can do with tuna.
It would be, yeah, but 1,000 appalling tuna recipes by Ian Abrahams. That's what he'd be. He used to microwave it in the old office, Mark, and he'd stink the place out. He'd microwave all these fishy concoctions, and he'd stink the office out. Terrible.
He needs to get that sorted, doesn't he? What's wrong with him?
So this is a short-term deal for you, isn't it? And then you're going to kind of see what happens after that?
Yeah, it's a short-term one. I mean, it's a real tricky situation in football, especially League One, League Two, with the COVID situation, fans not being back in the ground, and they explain that situation to me. I'm just looking forward to getting some football. I mean, it's. I don't want to be picking up a wage and not playing. That's a be-all and end-all. I want to play football. I want to show everyone what I can do. I'm still at a good level of fitness, so I want to, like I say, I'm just really excited about the challenge. We're not... I mean, before I signed for the club, Shrewsbury Town, they have a lot of possession in games, and they just haven't been hitting the back of the net, really. Last night was a little bit different. It was more of a battle, typical Fleetwood Town game of football, windy conditions. But they've got the players. The gaffer's brilliant. He's been absolutely superb since I've signed, and just need to put the ball in the back of the net and get that winning mentality back. I think that's important.
What about football in League One? I mean, obviously it's going to be different to the Premier League, but has it moved closer? I mean, you know, keeping the ball, playing out from the back, those things sort of apply?
I mean, yeah, I think it's massive in football. When we got promoted through the leagues with Bournemouth, we always stuck to that philosophy, and I think it's really important. I mean, certain grounds and the pitches aren't as good as higher up the ladder, but... if the conditions are bad, it's difficult to play out. But I think the best teams can handle the football, and that's why they're so successful.
Pretty solid start by Jason Tindall. He was on earlier on with Jim White chatting about it. I mean, they're sixth, Bournemouth, at the moment. They've not done too bad, have they?
No, yeah, really good start. They probably could have had more points on the board as well. I mean, I watched the Cardiff game when they played away at Cardiff. They should have won that game quite comfortably in the end. But yeah, solid start. I mean, he's big shoes to fill with Eddie Howe leaving, but he's done a great job. And I trained with him for 6 weeks, and the coaching standard from him and his coaching staff, Stephen Purchase, and all the rest of them are absolutely superb. So I don't see why they can't push for promotion.
Do you see Eddie out for long, Mark? I mean, he's been linked with a few jobs already. And do you see him back fairly soon?
I'd be very surprised if he takes a job in the Championship. But if a Premier League club comes along that he really fancies, then he's got that habit of, you know, he loves it. He loves the pressure situation, and I think he'll miss that working environment because he just loves what he does. So I think he's enjoying. I spoke to him a good few weeks ago via text, and I think he's enjoying the family time at the moment. But like I said, if a club comes along that he fancies, I don't see why he's not back soon.
Are you living locally or are you commuting?
Yeah, I'm living locally. Me and Chaz are going to share a flat from Monday, hopefully.
Has he got a kitchen?
Hey, that's a must. That's a must. I'm in an hotel at the moment, but I'm going to be living locally. The family will travel up at the weekends and stuff. So it's difficult with a COVID situation. You can't really do a lot. So I'm just going to play that by ear.
What's Charlie like in the kitchen, or will you be doing all the cooking? Is that a given?
I'll be picking him out, to be fair. I think he'll quite enjoy my food.
He's going to do all right then, isn't he? Oh, yeah. It's going to be great. He's going to get all this gourmet food laid on for him.
It's healthy though, so he'll be okay.
Yeah.
I'll have to keep him in shape, won't I?
And have you had a chat with Dave Edwards? How's he? I know he's injured at the moment, isn't he? How's he doing?
Yeah, I spoke with Dave actually the other day. He did the warm-up the other day in training, and he says he's feeling a lot better. Hopefully he'll be back training with the boys in the next couple of weeks, I think, week or two. But yeah, he's been doing the warm-ups and getting more involved. So he's a great lad, Dave. The season I signed for Shrewsbury 11 years ago, I think he just left that year for Luton. So I had a quick chat with him. He's had a great career, and fingers crossed he can get a lot more games towards the back end of his career and his injuries clear up.
And finally, what about no crowds last night? It must have been a weird experience.
Very strange experience, yeah. I mean, I haven't had much game time since other than the odd friendly or two with no crowds. And yeah, strange situation. We really do miss the fans. I think they make the game, to be honest. And it just, when you score a goal, there's no better feeling than going celebrating and seeing the smiles on the fans' faces. So fingers crossed we can get them back in soon.
Excellent. Good to talk to you, Mark. Look after yourself. Thanks for joining us.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We hope you enjoyed all that. Good to hear Alan on fine form. Books available now to pre-order if you fancy a copy. We'll catch up with you tomorrow from 1. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.